At only 19 years old, Kelsey was brutally stabbed to death 38 times by someone she knew and trusted. This story is told by her mom, Jana. We're going to talk to her today about this case and the warning signs to look for to protect yourself and your family and friends, as well as resources to help. Stick around to the end. You're not going to want to miss this case.
WAM Safety. The WAM Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Ferber.
Jana, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
I know this is a very difficult subject to talk about, your beautiful Kelsey, and I loved her too. So you and I met several years back at your work, and while working, I recall a time that Kelsey had been working late at night, and I had called her just to verify that they were still open. And she said, yes, please come in. Like, she just had this serious voice about her. And I said, okay, are you sure it's still okay to come? Because it's kind of late. Like, you guys should be closed by now. And she's like, no, please come in. And so I was like, okay. And I could just tell something wasn't right. And so I had gone into the store. And as I walked in, there was a big gentleman who was very angry, yelling at her. And she was very stressed and frantic. And she ran over to me. And I was like, I'm staying right here. Because I could tell that she was freaked out. And she was like, this is freaking me out, Wend. And I said, okay, cool. I'm just coming over here. I'm packing. We got this. And finally, we got the gentleman out of the store. And she locked up and she was like, he was this trucker guy. And he had come into the store and he was very angry. And he was yelling at her. And she was by herself. And she was very scared. And she was super grateful that I had come in. And she knew, okay, good. Like, somebody else is here. I'm not by myself. So I was grateful that I was able to be there for her. And then I was able to walk her out to the car and make sure she got home safe. So this had happened just a couple weeks prior. She had told me she was moving out on her own into her own apartment. She was really excited about that. Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Well, she had been living with me up until a couple days before.
Okay.
We found her this cute little apartment. She was going to finally be on her own. And we moved her in Monday night, and he took her Wednesday morning. So she wasn't able to be on her own for very long.
Oh, wow. And so she had been married to this guy. And how long had they been married?
So they got married a couple days after she turned 18. They eloped.
Okay.
So
you didn't really know much about it, or had they been dating before?
Oh, yeah. To start out, they had been dating through high school for, I think, since like end of her junior year, maybe, and most of her senior year. And like, I really loved him. Like, he was so good to her, and he just was cute with her. And like, he actually took her out on dates, you know, like,
oh, I love it,
to the ice cream shop or whatever, you know.
Right.
And about a month before they graduated, he got pregnant.
Okay.
And so, and he had just joined the National Guard. And so he was leaving to go to boot camp for a few weeks.
Okay.
And so they had planned on getting married and stuff, and which I was fine with. I thought he was a great person. I even helped him with the proposal. We surprised her at a concert. Me and my sister took her to a concert, and he came later with flowers and proposed in front of everybody, and everybody was cheering, and it was just so... It was, you
romantic,
know,
yeah, and cute.
Yeah. And then it was like the minute he put that ring on her finger, she was his.
Oh, wow.
And he became a totally different person.
So he changed at that time from all the years that you had seen that he had been dating her. And then once he actually put that ring on.
Yeah. The plan was that they were going to get married when he came back from boot camp.
Okay.
And then I don't know what changed, but then they had decided that maybe it was best that they get married before he goes. So military benefits type of thing.
Right.
I was kind of upset by it, but I was like, okay, so we have like 13 days. Let's do this. Let's plan it. What do we need to do? And she was like, well, we went and did it today. So it was kind of a shock, you know?
Oh, yeah, that definitely. So they just went down to the courthouse or something, or did they go away somewhere?
Went to the bishop's office.
Okay. So. And they just married him there?
Yeah.
Okay.
With his family there, but nobody from her family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which...
disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's your baby. You want to be there and be part of that.
Yeah, it's my first, so yes. Of course. And then he left and went to boot camp, and he was not there probably a couple weeks, and I guess he kind of freaked out, and they sent him home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess he wasn't completely honest with them and didn't tell them about the medications that he was on, and he quit cold turkey, and these are things that I didn't know about either, you know? Just, I learned a lot more about him after.
I bet.
Than before.
And so what were the issues that he had that he was taking medication for?
I'm not 100% sure. I think some of it was probably depression and anxiety, I'm assuming.
Okay.
But he told his... I don't know, sergeant or whatever, that he felt like he wanted to take his own life, and he just wasn't doing well there, and he, you know, I think he's stressed about Kelsey being home pregnant and all this, and so they observed him for a few weeks before they sent him home, but then they sent him home early, and so he came home, they got an apartment together and stuff, and it was like, it just, everything changed. We just wouldn't go over if he was home, because it made things hard on her, I think. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, after we left, he'd be mad.
Oh.
And she would watch her little brother all the time for me because I was working. And so she would take him sometimes to school or whatever. And it was like, well, he can't eat our food. He was just he didn't like us being there. And so, and then the baby was born and he was better, I guess, for a minute. You know, of course, we wanted to be over all the time because we wanted to see the baby and da da da.
Right.
Well, about 4 months after she was born, he just decided that he wasn't happy. It wasn't her. It was him. And he was moving to San Francisco to be a cop.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a huge
change. And he just packed his stuff and left her.
Oh.
And so she actually moved to Idaho for a few weeks with her dad. And as soon as he realized that she was going to start filing for divorce and stuff, he... came back, and on his way back, he said horrible things to her. Every time they'd fight, it was very verbal. He would just say the worst things to her.
Besides being very verbal, was he very physical with her that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think he was ever physical with her that I know of, but I know he beat her down mentally. I think he would keep her up all night yelling, you know, just... was very verbally abusive. And he was a little verbally abusive to me. Like when they would fight, sometimes he'd lash out at me and say what a horrible mother I was. And just like always, we even had to ask him to stop, or we were gonna contact the police because he was just would not let up one day.
And did this seem like it continued to progress and get worse and worse, like you said, after?
Yeah. So anyway, somehow he charmed his way back into her life and came and took her from Idaho, from her dad's, just while they were all gone at work, he just took her, and they moved in with his parents for quite a while. They were with his parents, and I think things were okay, but they still had their moments, and they, you know, I'm not sure of a whole lot that went on there. Like you said, we worked together, and she would come to work, and I would be like, what's wrong? And she'd say, nothing. And I'm like, I'm your mom. What's wrong? Like, I know something's wrong.
Right.
And she'd just say, Spencer being Spencer. And that's all she'd ever tell me. She was the type of girl that didn't like to cause waves. And she knew I wasn't a fan at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to cause fights. And I think a lot of it was like, because she didn't want me to say something to him, because then it always came back on her.
Right.
You know.
Then he would freak out on her and cuss her
out. Yeah, and I think she just tried to keep it neutral so that nobody knew what was going on. And I think she just finally had enough. I think she left him in the end of January. I think the end of January, 1st of February or something. And it was pretty mutual. They went and they did their divorce papers together and kept everything pretty mutual. And this, he was going to go to San Francisco, and this is how the custody was going to work and da-da-da. And their divorce was finalized, I think, in February.
Okay.
And she lived with me up until we found her, like, an income-based apartment that she could afford for her and the baby. It was super cute. And like I said, we moved her in Monday night, and then he took her Wednesday morning.
My gosh, like you said, I know, because knowing both of you, she was so sweet and kind, just like her mom. And like you mentioned, she would never want to cause any conflict or issues with anybody. So I can see that.
Like, she was always like that. Mm-hmm. Even growing up, she was just wanting to please kid, you know. And so,
very sweet, very mm-hmm. kind and giving to everyone.
Yeah. And I think, you know, once she was finally free, that she started talking to other boys and stuff like that. And I think he didn't like that.
He got really jealous, probably, because yeah. she's a beautiful girl. Mm-hmm. And he probably was like, wait a minute.
I'm not going to be able to talk myself back into this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And so take us back to the night before. So you had moved her into her new place, mm-hmm. and her and the baby were there by themselves. And somehow, like you had mentioned before, he was able to talk his way back in, and he maybe brought her some food or something yeah. that evening.
So we had moved her in and stuff, and she had the one day there by herself with the baby. She was so excited. She was like, look, mommy, I got my own house. Like, she was very excited. And she called me that morning of the 15th and was like, I need to get my bed put together. And I said, okay, well, when you come to work, grab Trent, because that's his early day out. That's her brother. And bring him to work. And then I'll just wait around for you to get off. We'll go and get your bed put together and stuff like that. And we had this plan to start getting our house put together. And then about... Well, it was a little before one. I called the school and was like, hey, could you remind, you know, her brother to walk over to Kelsey's? She's going to bring him home. And the secretary goes, okay, but there's something going on over there. There's a bunch of cops and it's all roped off. And I'm like, what? I'm like, let me call Kelsey. I'll see what's going on.
Right.
And I called her and I called her and I called her and I text her, answer me, you know. And so I called back the school and I said, I can't get a hold of her. I'll just come and grab him. And the secretary says, oh, they came in and said everything's fine. There was a young man and a woman and a baby. And I went, oh. And she goes, did Kelsey have a baby? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, so I came down, and of course her whole block is blocked off. And I ran up to the police officer and I'm just like, this is my daughter's apartment. Like, what is going on? And he got on the radio to tell the chief of police that the mom was here. And so I'm like, what is going on? Like, where is the baby? Like, is everything okay? And all the officer couldn't tell me anything. And so all he said was, it's not good. And so the chief of police came, and it was snowing that day. It was like miserable weather. And he put me in a car and he just said, there was an altercation, da da da. And Kelsey didn't make it. And my first reaction was, I knew he was crazy. Like, I was mad. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't upset yet. And they're like, you need to call somebody to have them come be with you, type of thing. And but I called my sister. Well, first I called my mom and she didn't answer. So I called my sister. I said, where's mom? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, well, Spencer just killed Kelsey and they want somebody with me, but I'm fine. I was just mad. And she goes, so she got a hold of my mom. My mom and my dad showed up. My dad had been a former police officer, so he knew the chief of police. And he, you know, was like, I really want to be involved. Let me know what's going on. I guess they had been fighting, which isn't surprising. Mm-hmm. He had taken her a pizza to, like, make amends. I think he was trying to get back into her life. Well, she was on the phone with somebody making plans for the weekend, which she was allowed,
right,
you know?
Right.
She was allowed. Well, he felt like she was taunting her, And I just don't see that. Like, I don't see Kelsey taunting anybody, you know. But she's trying to be tough, too. Like, I'm living my own life, so.
Right.
He admitted he went into the bathroom to try to calm himself down first. And then he took the baby and put her in the bedroom and went out to his car and grabbed a knife and came in and stabbed her 38 times. I believe it was 38.
Oh, that's heart-wrenching. I can't even imagine.
So, I mean, as bad as it sounds, the first one killed her. Luckily, you know, because there wasn't a lot of blood or anything. And so he didn't have to endure the rest of it, you know, which was good. But, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Breaks my heart for you. You're an amazing, strong mom.
Not because I want to be.
I know, you're incredible. And so from this horrible tragedy, I know that you have worked really hard to help other women. What are some things that you have learned through this for all of us to take back to help protect our kids if we see signs?
My thing is just speak up. Like, he wouldn't ever tell us how bad I think it really was, you know. And I think had I known more, I could have, I don't know. I mean, you never know. But I maybe could have done more. But I, you know, like I said, he never told us. He was very, my thing is just speak up and tell somebody how bad it is. Don't hold that into yourself. Because you never know. But we've done quite a bit. Like, we've raised money and stuff for the women's shelter in Brigham. And we did that for 2 years. And then it got to be tough. You know, so we haven't done it. We've done Kelsey's Cause and we did Kelsey's Cruise. And we've done about $4,100 that we raised for the women's shelter in those 2 years. And so, you know, I'm proud of that. But
absolutely.
But then sometimes I wish I kept going because I don't want her forgotten. Not that I will ever forget because I relive it every day. So
you're still doing so many great things to help other people. I know you've been involved in helping with the animal farm that helps emotionally support for families and victims. And so you've done a lot of great things. And I know that you work in the hospital environment and you're a great resource to so many people that need you, and you can relate and you have that compassion, and you will never let Kelsey go in vain, because she is such an amazing, beautiful, strong lady. And just like her mom, you are continuing her legacy. And we thank you for that.
Well, I've definitely learned to speak up, and especially to women when I hear they're in a bad situation. I have flat told them, get out. It's not going to get better. You're not going to fix it. Just the other day, I had a girl. They were saying how horrible her boyfriend was. And I told her my daughter's story. I said, you need to get out. And she started crying, and I think it like was kind of a punch in the face type of thing. Like, wow.
Because this really happens. That's the thing. And like, it's embarrassing and we don't want to talk about it. And so it's nice that you're able to support those women and share that horrible story, but that we can all learn from it. Like, okay, if these things are happening, we need to get out.
Yeah.
Let somebody know. There's so many amazing resources out there now, and we have many of those on our website to help women in all different aspects of it. So please, if you or family member or friend, whoever it may be, please let them know that we love them and care about them and want them to be safe. And there's so many resources that can get them out and protect them.
Yep.
So tell us what happened after you show up and the police came out to tell you what happened. What did they say had all occurred?
They said that there was an altercation and Kelsey didn't make it, and that Spencer had called the cops and said, I just killed my wife. Come get me. There's a baby. You'll need to bring DCFS.
Wow. And so then after that occurred, obviously they took him to jail. And is he still in prison at this time?
Yes, he was sentenced. His first parole hearing is October 1st, 2038. And so he was initially sentenced 15 to life, but his first parole hearing is October 1st, 2038.
Oh my gosh. And so obviously I'm sure you will definitely be there for that.
Yes.
Yes. That is so horrible. And then how are you doing with all of this?
I'm good. You know, it's been 7 years. And people say, I can't believe it's been 7 years. And I tell them, it's every day for me.
Absolutely.
It is every day for me. There's not a day that goes by that she doesn't cross my mind. Ever. So.
Do you have other moms that you have talked to as yes. a support group?
Yes. I've actually been on some angel retreats with other mothers who have murdered children as well. And I have a huge support system.
Oh, that's
unfortunately.
Good. Right.
You know,
right.
We don't like new members, but we get them a lot.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so grateful that you have that extra support for you.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd do without them.
Definitely. So I love you and appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story today with us. And I know we will never forget Kelsey. And thank you for helping us learn and teach our kids and grandkids to help protect themselves. Because unfortunately, they come from amazing families. You never know what goes on behind closed doors and how it's so scary that this could happen. And it's somebody you know and you trust.
Yeah, we never expected it, ever.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that's usually what happens in these types of cases. Those murders are done by your significant other. And so again, that's why we would just definitely tell everyone to please, let's learn from this horrible experience to help protect everyone else.
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you again. You're amazing for being such a great hero and sharing your story with us today. I love you.
I love you too.
What are some things that we learned? I'm going to bring in my partner, Eric, to share some of those ideas with me.
This is a heartbreaking story. I mean, just being stabbed around 38 times. That's a lot of rage. That's a lot of anger. That's a lot of hatred.
Oh, that's horrible.
The biggest thing I can spot in this case is warning signs. Now, as Jana had reiterated, speak up. I know a lot of people won't speak up in a relationship because they feel embarrassed or they feel they've made a mistake and they feel like maybe it somehow can be fixed or salvaged. If you have a friend, family member, or coworker, and something feels off about the relationship or you notice some things, pull them aside and flat out ask them, do you need help? As privately as you can, because they're going to need that. And be prepared to hear the truth if you ask for it.
And sometimes they're not going to tell you. And then if they do tell you, like you mentioned, then you need to actually act on that.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not just like letting somebody tell you that something's going on and we don't do anything about it. We have that responsibility to follow through and support and help them.
Absolutely. Be prepared to share the truth if you know something is happening with others. Because imagine if someone shared something with you about their abusive relationship and you did nothing or sat on the information. Imagine how you'd feel if the person was killed. How would you explain to others that you knew but did nothing?
That would be devastating. So one thing you can do if this comes to your attention is to contact the domestic violence resource. So in the United States, there is the 1-800 hotline. That number is 1-800-799-7233. There's also numbers on our website for anywhere in Australia, the UK, Africa, etc. And you can find those under whamsafety.com for any resources and support. Remember, we love you. Just be prepared, not scared.
Wham Safety. The Wham Safety Podcast with Wendy Jensen Nichols and Paul Thurber.
Wham. WhamSafety.com. Wham.